person who was beyond property and who was shot.
Philosophers and followers of Patanjali Yogi as the supreme independent personality of Godhead, who is known for superior. Next then, O my Lord, I, who am considered to be the best of the demigods, and Lord Brahma and the great rishis, headed by Maharishi, are born of the mother of goodness. Nonetheless, we are bewildered by your illusory energy and cannot understand what this creation is. Aside from us, what is to be said of others, like the demons and human beings, who are in the modes, base modes of material nature, Rajagun and Tamagun? How will they know you? Purport, actually speaking, even those who are situated in the material mode of goodness cannot understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of those who are situated in Rajagun and Tamagun, the base qualities of material nature? How can we even imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There are so many philosophers trying to understand the absolute truth, but since they are situated in the base qualities of material nature and are addicted to so many bad habits, like drinking, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling, how can they conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? For them, it is impossible. For the present day, the Pancharatrika Vidhi, as enunciated by Narada Muni, is the only hope. Sri Rupa Goswami therefore has quoted the following verse from Brahma Yamala, Sruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidyam Vina Aikantiki Harir Bhakti Upakayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service to the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Those who are very advanced in knowledge and are situated in the mode of goodness follow the Vedic instructions of the Sruti and Smriti and other religious scriptures, including the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Without understanding the Supreme Personality of God in this way, one only creates a disturbance. In this age of Kali, so many gurus have sprung up, and because they do not refer to the Sruti, Smriti, Purana, Pancharatrika Vidhi, they are creating a great disturbance in the world in regard to understanding the absolute truth. However, those who follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi under the guidance of a proper spiritual master can understand the absolute truth. It is said, Pancharatrasya Krishnasya Vakta Tu Bhagavan Swayam. The Pancharatra system is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Bhagavad Gita. Vasudeva Sarana Vidur Anja Saiva. The truth can be understood only by one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in all surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. Only those who have surrendered to the lotus feet of Vasudeva can understand the absolute truth. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Therefore, Vasudeva Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, personally teaches in Bhagavad Gita, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not properly understood even by Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, or to speak of others, but he can be understood by the process of bhakti yoga. If one practices bhakti yoga by taking shelter of Vasudeva Krishna simply by hearing Vasudeva speak about himself, one can understand everything about him. Indeed, one can understand him completely. Those who are known as the impersonal Vedantists regard you as the impersonal Brahman. Others known as the Mamsaka philosophers regard you as religion. The Sankhya philosophers regard you as a transcendental person who is beyond Prakriti and Purusha and who is the controller of even the demigods. The followers of the codes of devotional service known as Pancharatras regard you as being endowed with nine different potencies, and the Patanjali philosophers, the followers of Patanjali Muni, regard you as the supreme, independent personality of God who has no equal or superior. So here Lord Shiva is expressing the fact that there are many conceptions of God, and they may follow scripture also, but they're not necessarily completely correct. And then he says even Shiva, Brahma, Marichi, and others, we cannot know, Supreme Lord, what to speak of human beings, people in Rajagun and Tamagun, etc. How is it possible that we can know you? So in other words, it is very difficult to know the Supreme Lord. Though that is so, at the same time, in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and other places, it is said that by bhakti, one can know the Supreme Lord. So, in one sense, yes, nobody can know the Lord, but the Lord also offers great opportunity to everyone to know Him by a very simple method. So what this shows is that, in one sense, the Lord, understanding the Lord who is the highest person, it is a very rare achievement. And by our own endeavor, or by misinterpretation of scriptures, we cannot understand the Lord. And this will mean that we actually come to a different conclusion, even if we take the scriptures. If we don't take the scriptures, of course, it is impossible to conclude who is supreme. And if we take the scriptures, even then, we can misinterpret. So here he gives a whole list of different types of persons who conceive of the Lord in different ways. One can see him as Brahman or Dharma, etc. And these persons accept the scriptures also, but they have a, not necessarily incorrect, but incomplete conception of the Lord. Definitely the Lord is all these different things mentioned, but he is more than that also. He is more than Brahman, he is more than Dharma, he is more than the Purusha, more than Paramatma, etc. So, they are not incorrect, but they are only partial representations of the truth. So in other words, various persons approach scripture and they get part of the truth, not the complete truth. Just as if we look at milk with the eye, we can understand, oh, it's white, but we don't have the complete truth about milk. Simply say it's white. Milk is white. So clouds are white also. And white dogs are there. So it's not just that anything white is milk. Huh? Definitely, it's not wrong when we say, yes, milk is white when we use our eye. That's not a complete conception. Something I'm like. So this is how some people take scriptures. They take a little bit, oh, this is supreme. And they don't see the whole picture. So we do have to take scripture, and at the same time, we have to take it through the proper means. That is, we have to understand the final import of the scripture, not simply take partial statements here and there. So we have to get the correct meaning. To get the correct meaning, some different procedures are there. One is, of course, we use certain principles of logic. And we use certain principles that are mentioned in the scripture itself, so that we don't misinterpret or misunderstand the words. One of the principles is, as much as possible, we take the direct meaning. That's a principle. So we don't start interpreting immediately, oh, can't mean this, must mean this, this, this. Only where we're forced to do so, we have to do that. Otherwise, we don't take indirect meanings. We don't interpret. So as much as possible, we take the direct meaning. So, the previous verse is stated, there is one Supreme Lord, nothing else. So how do we take that? We can interpret it, as many do. Okay, it doesn't mean really one. It means the Lord is the controller only. Yeah? On the other hand, we can say, when there is a difference, so there is Jivas and there is Supreme Lord, we can interpret that also. That's only Maya. It's only a relative statement. The Lord doesn't really mean that. Doesn't mean that. Yeah, that means only a Vyavaharic reality, illusory actually. So we can, in both cases, interpret anything and come up with a completely wrong philosophy by interpreting different statements of the Vedas. Yeah? Or, if we just take one particular statement and ignore the rest of the scriptures, we can get wrong statements also. Yeah? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, worship the Devatas and you get all your desires fulfilled. Chapter 3, he says that. So we say, see? The Lord is supporting this worship of Devatas. Let us do that. Huh? So, Based on one statement, yes, we can do that. And the Lord is saying that. So it must be authoritative. But we see later on, Krishna says, those who worship the devatas are foolish. So then another opposite statement is there, which means don't worship the devatas. So which is the true statement? Then we have to use our intelligence and look at the scripture and see why Krishna is saying certain things in different places. And if we do that, then we can get the correct meaning. So in other words, there's certain statements we cannot take literally, other statements we have to take literally. How to judge? And we have to see the context, and we have to see the intention of the whole work. So we cannot just take isolated statements here and there from scripture. We have to see the final conclusion, and everything should agree with that. So, therefore, scripture is fine, but we have to understand the real meaning. So, we have to use our intelligence. As I said, we have to use scriptural rules. For most people, that may be difficult. And therefore, the acharyas do that for us. And they give us the meaning according to the taking the rules into consideration. And they give us the final meaning of everything. That is why we do need to accept a parampara. We have to accept the knowledge through a line of acharyas and devotees. And we get the correct meaning. So that is how we get the real meaning of the scriptures. So as I said here, none of these statements are incorrect in one sense, but they're all partial. So the most valuable knowledge is a complete knowledge. Highest knowledge is complete. So we should not take a partial knowledge only. Try to get the complete knowledge. That also is stated in the scriptures. It gives partial knowledge, it gives complete knowledge, it gives conclusion of everything. So though there are many scriptures, which may be confusing for people, Lord Chaitanya has taken the Bhagavatam as the final conclusion of all scriptures, of all the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras, the Mahabharata, and the Puranas. It is the final conclusion of everything. So we don't have to go to many scriptures and then take all the conclusions of all the scriptures and put all that together and come up to a conclusion. You can do that, but ultimately, of course, the Brahma Sutras have done that for the Shruti. But Bhagavatam has taken everything, Shruti and Smriti, Mahabharata, everything together, and come up with the conclusion. So we don't have to even read all the other scriptures. Just read the Bhagavatam from the beginning. However, in the Bhagavatam itself, as in the Bhagavad Gita, we do have to be very careful because we cannot take statements independently. We have to look at the total context of everything and see the final conclusion. So we should not be misled by independent statements coming from the Bhagavatam that said do this or do that or whatever. You know, we have to see the conclusion. So again, we should take Bhagavatam through the parampara system. So here the discussion is actually Mohini Avatar. So Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur compares the Bhagavatam to Mohini. What is the quality of Mohini? She's very beautiful, and she fools the demons. And what does she do by fooling them? She takes the nectar and gives it to the devatas. That's her quality. So Bhagavatam is like Mohini. It fools the demons and takes the nectar from them and gives it to the devotees. Some people are not qualified to understand Bhagavatam. They will get all the different statements and say, this is the conclusion. And Bhagavatam provides them an opportunity. They can take the wrong meaning if they want, and Bhagavatam gives them plenty of opportunity for that. So any of these meanings you can get out of the Bhagavatam. If you want Brahman, you can get it. If you want Dharma, you can get it. If you want Sankhya, you can get it. If you want Yoga, you can get it. Take all these different things out of the Bhagavatam. But it is partial. It is not the final conclusion of Bhagavatam. So we do have to approach the Bhagavatam as devotees of the Lord, that we have to have faith in the Supreme Lord, and acceptance of the Supreme Lord. Then we can begin to understand. So the devotees, to get the nectar of Bhagavatam, from Mohini, so to speak, they go through the parampara system to get that nectar. That is how they understand it. So, Bhagavatam is the final conclusion, but again, even for Bhagavatam, we can get the wrong meanings. So we have to be very careful how we take the meaning. We have to go through the acharyas. We cannot concoct our own meaning and take independent, isolated statements out of Bhagavatam. So that's the way in which we approach Bhagavatam. We go through the parampara system. So there's an example given in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, where Bhagavatam is compared to the desire, the fruit, highest fruit on the desire tree. A fruit, of course, is the that's considered to be the something which is sweet. It gives nice results. So various scriptures give various fruits. Artha, dharma, kama, moksha. So many of the scriptures are these fruits. Artha, dharma, kama, moksha fruits. You get this type of enjoyment. The Bhagavatam is considered the highest fruit. That is, it gives something much more than any other scripture gives in terms of giving bliss to the jiva. More than moksha. More than even a realization of other forms of God through bhakti. So even better than all the other bhakti scriptures or the Pancharatra. Bhagavad Gita is the highest fruit. Therefore, through the Bhagavatam we can get the highest realization of the Lord and experience the highest bliss. But because it's the highest fruit on the tree, in the sense that it's also the sweetest, it's also the highest because it's rare. It's hard to get. To climb, you have to get to the top of the tree. It's not the bottom fruit hanging on the bottom that you can just hang on. And you have to climb and climb and climb and climb and get the topmost branch and you fall off. So it's hanging on the topmost branch of the tree. That means it's also difficult to get. Yeah. In that sense, it's Mohini, that only the devotees can get it. So, how do we get that fruit? It is explained that someone can climb up there. They have to be very agile to climb up that tree. Very, very light also. It can't be too heavy. And they can get the fruit. But then, they can't throw it down, because if they throw the fruit down, it will just land on the ground and squash. Because it's very ripe fruit. So, we have to have a series of persons, and one person hands it down to another person, he hands it to another person, hands it to another person. So in this way, the fruit comes down through parampara. And that way we get the sweetness intact. If we don't do that, the sweetness is not there. So, the special nature of Bhagavatam is that great sweetness. And why is it great sweetness? Because it has Krishna in it. He is the sweetest. So we'll get that sweetness if we get it through the parampara system. Then we understand and we can appreciate Krishna. So therefore we have to accept scripture, but we have to take it. And of all scriptures, we should actually take Bhagavatam as the final conclusion. But even Bhagavatam, we have to take through the proper method, through the parampara system, through the acharyas, and through the devotees of the Lord. Then we can experience that sweetness of the fruit. So, there is a particular method of understanding the Lord, but it is there. So, Supreme Lord is rare, and it is impossible simply by your own endeavors or misinterpretation of scriptures to get anything. But, I mean, even for David, that's rare. But, if you accept the line of authority and you accept the Bhagavatam, then you can get that fruit. It is not so rare after all, if we take the proper process. So, there are often statements by, particularly by the Devatas, or even by people, persons like Vasudeva, Krishna's father. It's very rare to understand the Supreme Lord, etc. So that is true if we take normal percentage in society. How many are devotees? And how many are devotees of Krishna? How many are devotees who study the Bhagavatam? So actually in that sense it is rare. But on the other hand, it is open for everybody. So Bhagavatam is not restricted. Vedas are definitely restricted. That the sutras cannot study Vedas at all. So not much restricted. Then we have the vast nature of the Vedas. You have to learn the grammar and so many things to be qualified with the different angas of the things like, Vyakaran, grammar, and Nirukti, getting the meaning of the words, etc. Chandas, getting the proper meter, because you actually have to chant them with svaras and meter properly, etc. So you have to learn various things in order to get the meaning out of the Vedas. And then when the Vedas are very vast, and they cover Karma, Kanda, Gyan, Kanda, Pasana, Kanda, etc. Not very approachable by most people. That is why Vedavyas wrote the Mahabharata and the Puranas for everybody. But we see that even there, there is difficulty understanding. People get the wrong meaning, etc. And so finally, Narada Muni told Vyas, you just tell everybody to worship Krishna, that's all. So that is why we have the Bhagavata. We should have no confusion about who to worship and how to worship, etc. So the message comes very simple in the Bhagavata ultimately. So it is the final scripture that we should study. We take our authority from that. So though it is rare, the Bhagavatam is for everybody. It is not restricted by Varna or by any time, place, circumstance, etc. There is no restriction on it at all. Everybody can take to it. So in that sense, it is open for everybody. But again, it has to come through the proper source, the proper teachers, etc. So to make it more available, the Prabhupada has explained everything in English for everybody and distributed around the world, make it more available for everyone. Okay? So this is the method by which what is rare becomes not rare at all by the devotees of the Lord. Okay? So the devotees of the Lord are enthusiastic to deliver the message of the Lord to other people. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, the person who preaches my message is very, very dear to me. So therefore, if we take the instruction of Krishna like that. Though the Lord is rare, by the enthusiasm of the devotees of the Lord, who propagate the Lord, it doesn't become rare. It becomes something for everybody. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He wants to distribute his message everywhere. It goes through the devotees. And through the devotees, we can get the correct message of Bhagavatam.
With the same message,
yeah, that is why Narada Muni said, this is all a waste of time. Don't write 8 in Puranas. It's all a waste of time. Just have Bhagavatam.
But in Narada's topic in the beginning, is why you get so
You say Leela, that's all. If people want to get fooled, they can get fooled also, that's all. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, he says, he worships the Devadasan chapter, so he wants to say that. If people really want to be fooled, they can. To say Radha's name before Krishna's name? So we should go to the devotees, that's the principle. That we say Radha Krishna. We say Hare Krishna. Sita Ram. Lakshmi Narayan. So that's what we do. If they give Krishna, but if they say something wrong, then whether they're misinterpreting the Vedas, then they become demons. So they have the wrong conclusion, and they say, don't worship Krishna, worship the impersonal Brahman and Krishna's illusion, then that becomes Dvani. So then why would Krishna be pleased with that? Well, they should give the right message when they preach the scriptures. Sri Sampradaya takes Vishnu's Purana, so therefore Vishnu is supreme to them. So it's not wrong in one sense, but in Kali Yuga, the advice given of Narada Muni Vedavyasa is that Krishna is the best object of worship because he is most attractive for everybody. Thank you.